Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I were 6 practices in, 2 padded practices. We had our first skirmish yesterday. I would say training camp is well underway, Seth.
Yeah, that's skirmishes. It was hot and humid yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't like record-breaking heat or anything, but it was...
It's still pretty nice compared to how it normally is.
I guess so, yeah.
It wasn't bad. You were standing in the sun the whole time. I was surprised.
I was? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, Seth, there's a perfectly good tent over here.
I have to go down and watch from the end zone.
Okay.
I just can't get it, especially because I'm trying to watch the line play, and it's impossible from the side to see what's going on with the line.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, even when you have the all 22 and everything, when you're trying to watch the lineman, you got to watch from the end zone.
What have you thought of Blake Fisher so far?
Some good, some bad. He's looked like a promising rookie. Yesterday, there were some times where Will Anderson had his way with him. There was this is when I get nervous, is just with young offensive linemen in general. Because right now you've got Blake Fisher at left tackle, Kenyon Green at left guard, and Juice Scruggs at center. So from the center out to the left, that's a whole lot of youth. Kenyon Green's got a year of experience, basically. And then you've got, basically 2 rookies, because Juice Scruggs didn't get to actually play center last year. His time was at left guard. But 3 very young guys. And there were quite a few instances yesterday where the offense went to an empty backfield and it was just 5-man pass protection, to where you got 5 offensive linemen. They're going to have to handle everything on their own. And there was one play where Azeez Alshire came free for just a clean up, clear, easy hit on CJ Stroud. And it wasn't clear to me whether it should have been Blake Fisher or Kenyon Green that grabbed him. Blake Fisher was trying to get him. I'm guessing it was actually Blake Fisher's bust in 5-man protection, but you never know for sure. So but it was one of them. It was either Kenyon Green or Blake Fisher, the 2 young guys there
on the left side, which has been a concern.
But other than that, I do think the young guys have done a good job of picking up on a lot of the games and stunts and blitzes. So the mental part of it's there, but it's, you know, this is practice and the defense isn't necessarily game planning against them quite the same way yet. So it's just, there's room. There's work to do.
Here's Nick Caserio yesterday on the Texans' top 2 rookies, Blake Fisher and Kamari Lassiter.
When Blake got to campus at Notre Dame, he was a left tackle, and then Joe came in and they moved him over to the right side. Played predominantly on the right side the last 2 years. So LT's not practicing right now, so instead of moving Titus over, it's, well, we're going to put Blake over here at left tackle and let him get some work. And there's been some good plays. There's been some not-so-good plays. the thing that hopefully you want to see a player do is learn and improve, and what are some of the things that, you know, you can learn from another player? If you're blocking Danielle Hunter, if you're blocking Will Anderson, if you're blocking Derek Barnett, there's different types of players, but it goes back to your technique. Are you doing the right things? And then there's a lot of dialogue. I think our players do a great job of conversing with each other on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Because in the end, like, we just want to be successful as a team. But Blake's done a really good job. He's had a good attitude. He's a big body. There's certain things that he can do relative to playing with maybe better body position. I mean, he's a big, tall guy. But, okay, that's probably an area that he should look to improve. And I'd say Kamari from day one is he's just not afraid. It doesn't matter. Going back to spring OTAs, you put him on a field, not backing down from anybody. I mean, that's his mindset, his overall mentality, and you're seeing that on a day-to-day basis.
So with both those guys, the physical limitations, both Blake Fisher and Kamari Lassiter, that you want to see them address. One is Kamari Lassiter doesn't have elite, worldly, top-end speed, but the way he makes up for that is in his anticipation, in his, you know, in just his flat out technique. And I think we've seen steady improvement in that regard. First couple days looked like, man, he really got deked in some ways that a rookie's going to get deked at times. And when he makes a mistake like that, he doesn't have the ability to recover as quickly as some guys. But if his anticipation is better and if his reads are better and everything else that goes along with it, that's how he makes up for it. And I've seen that I think he's doing a good job of that. With Blake Fisher, that's, you know, I was glad to hear Nick say that because that was kind of confirmation of what I've been saying. So I was like, okay, I'm on the right track here with Blake Fisher. He's tall, and he's got to figure out how to play with an NFL level of knee bend and get lower because there have been times where Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have just gotten up underneath his pads and taken him for a ride, like really taken him for a ride to the point where they could have launched him into space in a real game, and that's like,
or worse, launched him into CJ Stroud.
Yeah, exactly. No, there was one with Danielle Hunter yesterday or 2 days ago where, yeah, Danielle would have launched him into the quarterback hardcore if he hadn't let up. So otherwise, though, the other stuff is good. I think his technique otherwise is good. I think his athleticism is just fine. And he looks like a guy who can play football. Sometimes when you're watching rookie offensive linemen, like from a defensive lineman's perspective, Sometimes you can just tell, man, like, this kid just doesn't get it. Like, I can't believe they wasted a second round. Like, as a player, you're like, holy crap.
Is that like blood this in the water, guy? Too? Is just, I just got to punish this guy until they take him out?
Yeah. But you're like, man, this guy just does not get it.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about Blake Fisher at all. I think he gets it.
Yeah.
He's just got to work on these things. And it's the same struggle that a lot of 6'6", 6'7" guys have their first training camp. And a lot of guys who end up being awesome, awesome offensive tackles have those same struggles in the first couple of weeks of camp. They just got to learn. They got to learn it's a different level up here. You just can't. You can't. Your length is a liability as much as it is an asset sometimes.
You asked Nick, Seth, about Damian Pierce yesterday, mentioned that he was very open about his struggles grasping the offense last year. We all know how it ended last year. For Damian Pierce, he wasn't getting any snaps offensively. The only snaps he was getting was in kick return. Here was Nick Caserio yesterday, kind of revealing some things, I think, as much as he could, about Damian Pierce's 2023 season.
Just having a clear headspace and kind of clearing your mind and kind of starting from scratch and refreshing. He trained very hard. He had a good attitude. He got himself in good condition. I really don't want to get into the depths and the detail, but I would say he was dealing with more than maybe people realize. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that affects maybe how you perform and play because you've had a lot of things going on. And there were times where he probably pressed and put maybe some undue pressure on himself. So when you take it holistically, everything into consideration, there were some ups and downs. And the way he handled it, honestly, was very mature. So he's in a lot better space. He's had a really good spring. He's popped some runs here in practice, and you're starting to see some of the things that you saw, you know, that we saw at Florida, that you saw as a rookie. And he had some good plays last year. I think the good plays sometimes get drowned out by some of the negative plays, and then everybody kind of those get sort of accentuated a little bit more, maybe more than they should. So, again, like, great kid, great attitude. He's going to help our football team, you know, and we're glad he's here.
You know, I think with Damian, you know, without having a clue exactly what was going on, you know, that was difficult for him to manage or handle in his personal life or whatever, He is one of those guys that one of his greatest strengths as a teammate, I think, is like he seems like a guy who genuinely cares about people.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But sometimes that's a great strength in a lot of ways, but sometimes it can be a liability because you get like you've got to learn how to check your day at the door. That's an old sports psychologist that talked to us in college told me that, and it hung with me. It's like you got to check your day at the door and figure out how to create that wall in your life to where you've got your work life, you've got whatever's going on in your personal life, and just try to keep those separate. And maybe some of that was Dameon Pierce, you know, having to learn that last year. And it's because he's just an awesome kid.
Yeah.
You know, he really does. He really, really cares. And maybe just learn how to build that wall a little bit is something that he had to learn, as well as whatever the situation was.
Yeah, by the time week
hopefully being resolved.
Right, right. By the time week 18 rolled around, Dameon was, you know, he was at, as a running back, he was at rock bottom. Was at the stage where he was getting very few snaps. By the playoffs, he was getting no snaps on offense. But I remember seeing the locker room celebration after the Indy win and they clinched the playoff spot. And Dameon, who, I don't know, maybe played five snaps offensively in that game. He was as happy as everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, he's in there celebrating, wasn't moping about the fact that he's the backup at that point. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I think, kind of an indicator. Just, you know, like, he was super happy that the team won that day, and I thought that was cool to see. I'm rooting for Dameon Pierce. One more from Casario. This is Casario on what I think is the biggest story so far of camp, the addition of Stephon Diggs.
Everything that we gathered relative to Steph in terms of how he practiced, his day-to-day approach, his competitiveness, I mean, that was consistent.
Yeah.
Every person, individual that you spoke with, and you've seen that on the field as well. And I think leadership is really just about relationships. So when you walk in a building, it's how do the players interact with one another, and you want it to be organic. Our players have done a great job of working with each other. You know, D'Amico talks to the team about practicing the right way. You don't want to have a bunch of dumb plays where you're blowing teammates up, you're hitting people from the side. You want to get good work done, but you want it to be competitive and you want it to be clean. So the play on the goal line there yesterday, you know, on the 4 or 5, Steph caught the short pass. He turned up the field and he kind of split Kamari and Jimmy Ward, who Jimmy and Kamari are two real physical players. And they kind of started talking and jawing at each other in a respectful way.
Yeah.
So you want to kind of see that tit for tat. But I would say the way Steph has practiced, everybody that you talk to in Buffalo just talked about his level of competitiveness on a day-to-day basis.
We should point out that interview took place before the Stingley cheap shot on Dalton Schultz, he practically described in that cut.
On Monday, D'Amico talked about how you can't have guys hitting guys from the side.
Right.
On Tuesday before practice, Casario said you can't be hitting guys from the side. An hour or two later, Derek Stingley would not only hit a guy from the side, but hit a guy from the side when he was walking away from a skirmish and didn't see anything coming at all.
It wasn't even a football play.
Derek Stingley just waylaid Dalton Schultz to the ground.
Casario jinxed it, man.
Yeah.
He jinxed it by bringing it up, by framing it that way.
One of the worst instances of a guy getting hit from the side that I've ever seen in a practice is Derek Stingley cheap-shotting Dalton Schultz from the side. About 2 minutes after the play was over.
Oh, my God. That was funny. We can laugh about it now because nobody got hurt from the whole thing. Ben McDaniels was on In the Loop yesterday, the wide receivers coach. Is he like the little rich boy that now has all the nice toys out of all the assistant coaches with the Texans? Now that he's got Stephon Diggs and he's got Tank Dell and he's got Nico Collins. John Metchie, before he got hurt here, was looking like he was turning into something.
Yeah, they're all probably looking at him like, oh, hey, good luck making Diggs a good football player.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
wow.
Right, right.
Wow, you got a big challenge, don't you?
Yeah. And McDaniels take credit for it. Diggs is good this year.
McDaniels is the kid that drives a BMW to school.
He is.
He's kind of like, oh, great, this guy. All right.
He is. And that BMW is Stephon Diggs. This was actually pretty funny. They asked him, In the Loop, it was Brandon Scott and John Lopez yesterday. They asked McDaniels his role, the role he played in acquiring Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I'll defer that to Nick and Miko. They build the roster and try and make us better with any moves that they make, and they clearly saw that as a move that would make us better. And
but you're happy.
And I signed off on it.
You're happy.
Yeah, but speaking of signing off and just being as the wide receivers coach, that's got to be like the easy. If they come up to you and say, hey Ben, what do you think about Stephon Diggs?
Yeah,
as a wide receivers
question.
Coach, right?
Yeah,
that's got to be like the easiest thing that they could bring to you,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
What if McDaniels had been the guy that was like, I don't know, man. I don't need to be dealing with that. It's just like, all right, I guess, if you come in.
That's a lot. You know what I have on my plate already? Look at this. Yeah.
Actually, Ben McDaniels is in a position to actually get some genuine shine off of the production of these guys because in terms of just if you're going trying to get a job somewhere else or anything, you got to always remember, yeah, look, Tank Dell did have to learn how to operate as a smaller receiver in the NFL. In camp last year, a lot of times you'd look up after a play was over and he was on the ground at the line of scrimmage. Like he was getting jammed and it was like the physical side as being a smaller guy. Like he hadn't learned yet how to get those releases perfect to where when you got to come up with some stuff. And then likewise, Nico Collins obviously had a breakout year. So I think that he could be in that rare position of, yes, you do have all this talent, but at least two of those guys, and then John Metchie, depending on how things work out for him, like three of those guys were not that guy before I started working with him.
Developmentally, I got no issues with Ben McDaniels as a position coach right now at all. I wonder if he starts interviewing for coordinator jobs and head coaching jobs, like how much are you like your brother?
Well, the whole thing, like Josh McDaniels.
Are you a lot like that? Yeah, as an OC.
As an OC,
yeah,
he's been awesome.
No, you're right. You're right.
He got the absolute best out of Mac Jones.
I thought
Josh McDaniels in New England handled Mac Jones brilliantly.
Yeah.
That's a great point. It was a steady diet of an increasing level of difficulty throughout the season. It was super easy, short passes and everything early in the season, and then they kind of expanded it. It's just that Josh McDaniels, for whatever reason, ends up as a head coach. It's too much for him.
Yep.
I think he's got a little bit of that disease that comes that people contract in New England.
The Belichick disease.
They try too much to be like Bill Belichick.
Yep. Yeah. Here's Ben McDaniels. Speaking of Tank Dell, here's Ben McDaniels on Tank Dell. Calls him a special dude.
Yeah, God blesses us all with different talents.
Yeah, man.
And then it's our job to make them what they are. And he's a special dude at the break point. It's kind of how we talk about things, you know, being able to separate the top of routes and put your foot in the ground and change direction and start and stop and do it at a really, you know, really high speed. And he does it really well.
You know, what's probably like is how much improvement you make as a marksman when you get a really good scope. You know, they got to go, okay, I'm sitting here trying to line up this little thing of metal in the back. Oh, here's a scope. Oh, gosh, I'm a lot better than I thought I was.
This is really nice.
This is really, really nice.
Yeah.
I became a much better driver a much better race car driver when I got an awesome race car.
You know, yeah, I could actually speed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, McDaniels, he got those weapons, baby. Text message, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. He said, the texter says that on the says on the afternoon show, I think they mean the Texans All Access show at 6 o'clock, says Vandy and John Harris the other day said that this is the best they've seen Davis Mills throw the ball since he's been a Texan. Do you agree with that? The follow up to this, Clint is saying Mills is horrible and may not make the team. Which is it?
It's tough because I think Davis Mills has maybe had some of the best throws I've seen him make. And yet he's also had a lot of like really curious and bad misfires on the easy throws.
His bad is really bad.
So to go back to something that Tom Brady said a long time ago that's resonated with me is just that he really like Tom Brady's always felt like it's the boring stuff that makes the good quarterbacks. It's like how consistent are you on the how dependable are you with the easy stuff?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a matter of making the right decision more so than it is, you know, making a brilliant throw. And that's the boring stuff is sometimes vastly disappointing. So I can't agree with either of those guys though. I think Davis Mills has
somewhere in between
beautiful passes. Yeah, yeah. It's somewhere in between. There's no part about me though that thinks that like, oh boy, he really might end up becoming like Rich Gannon. You know,
a late bloomer that gets an opportunity.
Yeah,
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, so Rich Gannon started off as the backup to Elvis Gerback, correct?
Yeah, he was in Minnesota for a while. Gannon was.
I guess when he first, yeah. So, but regardless, he was a late bloomer.
Yeah,
I don't see that trajectory for Davis Mills.
Yeah. Maybe in Kansas City, he might have backed up Gerbach in Kansas City. You might be right about that.
No, it was because I can remember us talking the week before, thinking like, whatever you do, don't hurt Gerbach.
Oh, because Gannon might come in.
The better quarterback.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't hurt Gerbach.
Interesting. Oh, so when you were a player, that was
a thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Do you think Clint is kind of a hard grader? Do you think if Clint were a professor, he would be the one whose class all the students would be avoiding? I listened to the drive fairly religiously, and especially early in the show. That's usually about the time I'm kind of getting my elliptical in, and yeah. I listen to the first segment of their show. And man, like I listened to Clint talking about Kamari Lassiter the other day. I'm like, I feel like he's describing a different player than I'm looking at here. Like, I feel like he's describing Kamari Lassiter's speed like Sean Pendergast is playing.
I don't know. I'll have to talk to Clint about this. Is there some confirmation bias going on, maybe, perhaps? Like, sometimes when you're watching practice. So I've seen Kamari Lassiter get beat badly in this camp.
Yeah.
But I've also seen Derek Stingley get beat badly.
Guys
this
get
camp.
Beat. I mean, being a corner in the NFL, you're going to get beat.
No, well, by Stephon Diggs or by Tank Dell or by Nico Collins especially. I mean, personally, I've been watching some of these battles between the defensive backs and the wide receivers. And just my overall impression is like, man, it's really cool being out here and watching all this because you don't typically get to see, a potential all-pro defensive back going against three different potential all-pro wide receivers.
Yeah.
It's been really, really fun to watch that battle. So with Kamari Lassiter, I think that if you're concerned about some things, we talked about his top-end speed and everything else like that, you can find evidence to get worried about that.
Yeah.
But you can also find evidence where, man, all right, I'm not worried about his top-end speed because if he is doing the higher level anticipation and technique stuff the way hopefully he can, then it's not as much of a concern.
Yeah.
And I also think just the nature of this scheme where they're going to be in zone a lot more than man, it's not as big a deal. And, Steven Nelson last year played very adequately for as long as he has Derek Stingley on the other side of him. And especially now that Derek Stingley, we've seen him travel with the best receiver, traveling with Amari Cooper. I think that's going to be more of an element this year. And I also try to keep in mind that he is a second rounder. Not that you're obviously your round doesn't predict exactly how awesome you're going to be, but you got to be realistic about I expect him to have some athletic deficiencies.
Sure.
There's plenty of, especially in teams that play zone a lot, there have been plenty of Charles Tillmans. There have been plenty of Rondé Barbers. There have been plenty of guys who got drafted in the second round because they weren't that Jeff Okuda level of physical talent. Yeah. But it's just a matter of, do they do all that other stuff really well?
Clint seems down on Nico Collins, too. He was earlier this week. I thought I heard him talking. He's kind of down on Nico Collins. Clint is a tough audience,
he's
man.
He's tough, right? Yeah.
He's tough.
He holds people to a high standard. All it is.
Right. I would be the professor everybody would want to take his class because everybody starts with an A with me.
You know what Clint is?
I had Jawar Jordan basically being like LaDainian Tomlinson at the end of practice yesterday.
Well, we know you're an established sucker for running backs.
Big time.
I'm intrigued by Jawar Jordan to an extreme degree. And I think there's some things I still need to see in real football for an undersized running back.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about some of the potential that he's flashed.
Yeah.
Clint is basically the sober guy is the thing. We're all having a good time, and Clint's sober.
He's the designated driver out of practice.
Right? Yeah. He's the one who's willing to be a buzzkill.
Man.
And that's a good guy to have around. The guy who's willing to be a buzzkill.
What kind of professor would you categorize yourself as? If you were teaching a college course, would you be easy? You would be on the easier side. I think you would be too.
Anybody, you tell me you've got family issues, and I'm like, okay, well, you know what, just take the semester off. We'll regroup next semester.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
about my grade? A.
Yeah.
Yeah, an A.
I would not get tenure. I wouldn't. Because it'd be because there would be because I know how it works. All the other professors would just they would hate me because I would be so well liked and beloved, but not because I'm a good teacher, but more just because I'm way too nice with all of the other with the students.
I think Lopez would grade people fairly, but whatever the grade you got early in the semester, that would be pretty much your goal. Like you would have to really impress him to get out. Like if you started off, if he was teaching a class that was all essay, so it's very subjective in the grading, and especially with John being a being a writer and everything, and you got like a D plus on the first exam, he would go into every other exam with the impression of you as a D plus. First impressions are important with Lopez.
Well, it's called the halo effect when a student or a player, you've got in your mind that, okay, this is the golden child, that you ignore almost every negative about them. It's a bias we have as humans. Yeah, it's a halo effect. I just, like, as a player, I was kind of like, usually I was pretty really well liked by my coaches, and I would always feel, there would be times where I'd be like, dude, just like, tear into me about
yell at
that.
Me.
That was actually a bad, like no, please. Stop just assuming that I'm going to be this way all the time.
Well, because that can veer into teacher's pet territory.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You don't want to be the teacher's pet.
No.
It's bad.
No.
It's really, really bad. Especially when one of your buddies is getting torn into for some, like making a mistake that you just made two snaps before.
And he was probably making it watching you saying like, Seth didn't get scolded
it's
for doing
this.
Bad
for team morale, you know?
Yeah.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One time, Travis Johnson was getting ripped into by that idiot Richard Smith and for something. And it was basically, Travis had gone outside the scheme because I told him to. Because I knew it was a pass.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Travis was supposed to play a certain technique. And I'm a veteran player. I knew it was pass because I had a tell on one of the offensive linemen. So I told him, I was like, jet, jet, jet. So he took off up into the B gap. And the play didn't work out, but it wasn't.
It was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. Yeah. So he starts tearing into him, and I just raised my hand. I was like, Coach, that was me. And then Richard Smith got even angrier.
At you?
Because I was like kind of
calm. Oh,
yeah. That was the last year of my career when it was the first time in my life that I had a coach that like didn't love me. Like, and Richard Smith, I don't know what the deal was or anything, but he hated me. And so I was also kind of like,
you hated him back.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're an idiot, man.
Proportional response.
He was so stupid. He really was.
I watched an interview with him. He's coaching linebackers, I think, for the Colts right now.
Yeah.
I watched an interview. I went one day. I was remembering you were saying something about him, and I went and Googled him just like, Richard Smith press conference. Let's see what's out there.
Yeah.
And it was an interview that he did when he got hired. I think he's on the staff right now up in Indy.
Yeah, he's the linebackers coach.
He's linebackers coach. And I bet
Zaire Franklin loves him.
Yeah. I was watching, and I'm watching the interview. I'm like, yeah. I kind of get it, Seth. I kind of get it. Yeah.
It was one of the most clownish displays I've ever seen of a defensive coordinator. Just completely inept.
Okay.
Just awful. It was bad.
Do you think you would like playing for Brian Daboll?
Probably.
Based on what we've seen in Hard Knocks so far.
I don't know. I think the thing about Daboll is like he's very raw and his temper gets the best of him and everything, but he does just seem like a he seems like a genuine football guy. You know,
almost
he's like rough
too much of a football guy. Like he's
rough around the edges and everything, but like, yeah, he's not trying to win. He's not trying to win anybody's love and admiration.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So the clip, there were some interesting clips with Daboll that have emerged from the latest episode of Hard Knocks. There was one of him. They're interviewing Roma Dunze in Joe Shane, the GM's office, as the part of the pre-draft process. And Daboll's all sloppy with his feet up on the table, laid back, asking questions. It was funny. He was getting some criticism from people on Twitter, like, real classy, feet up on the table while you're interviewing somebody. I don't know. I kind of felt like he was just trying to keep it casual. This though, was the one that you sent to me yesterday. The entire Giants personnel team and coaching staff, they're in the war room. This is not during the draft. This is the lead up to the draft. And they're trying to figure out quarterback. And we know that replacing Daniel Jones is definitely, leading up to the draft, an option on their board. They paid Daniel Jones last year, but they are not all that excited about Daniel Jones. So this is them going through all the quarterbacks that have been drafted since 2014 in the first round. And when you listen to the names, you can start to picture the faces in the room and just the wind coming out of their sails, because like, you're really feeling what the hit rate is on these guys until Brian Daboll gives the personnel group the perfect three-word strategy at the very end. Listen to this cut right here.
Let's go to the last 10 years of pro football. 2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy Bridgewater. 2015, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. 18, Baker, Sam, Josh, Lamar. 19, Kyler, Daniel. 20, Burrow, Tua, Justin, Love, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones, Pickett, Bryson, Stroud. How many of them hit in the last 10 years?
Oh, we're doing this.
Not a lot.
What do you take from that, Dames?
Take the Stroud.
Take the Stroud.
Hey, it's notable too that this is Brian Daboll got his job with the Giants partly by being Josh Allen's coach, being the offensive coordinator for Josh Allen, and being the guy that was there when Josh Allen figured it out and turned it around.
Yep.
And he said the Stroud before the Josh Allen. Joe Shane, probably mindful that the cameras were there. He's like, or the Josh Allen, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cut that part off. Right.
He did a solid for Daboll. Like, or the Josh Allen.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, God, that's ironic. So, man, they're listing those names off, and it really is a reinforcement about just how fortunate we are right now. You know, that was, of all the names, they must have rattled off 20 names there, right, of quarterbacks since 2014. Burrow, a hit, who's only finished two of the 4 years he's been in the league. Mm. You know, he's had injuries that have ended seasons. Beyond that, you know, you can pick holes in almost anybody other than Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mahomes and Burrow are the two big ones. You know, I know Justin Herbert's really talented. Jordan Love is about to get a big contract extension. He's had half a good season. And I know CJ's only had one good season. I get that. He's just a rookie. But, man, that's a scary proposition, and that's what makes draft night, especially this draft night, and you've pointed this out, Seth, many times, this past draft night in particular, six of these guys were taken in the first 12 picks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear that list that they just rattled through on Hard Knocks, you know that just based on math, that four of them have no business being taken that high.
Yeah, teams are just so desperate for quarterbacks that they're drafting guys that would have been fourth or fifth rounders in previous generations, or like a decade ago, are now going in the top five.
Crazy,
in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So it's stressful.
It's crazy.
Well, I had a fan yesterday who was a listener ask me, hey, do you think the Texans will ever come clean about the fact that they would have taken Bryce Young? And I was like, well, I did, like, for one, no. I like, because I don't know if there's anything to come clean about. When you looked at a lot of the anonymous GMs and scouts last year headed into the draft, it wasn't unanimous that Bryce Young was their favorite. The other thing is that the Texans, by the time they realized that when the Panthers traded up to number one overall, they would not have already made their decision about who they were going to take in the draft. It was too early in the process. And I do believe that the even though the Panthers, everybody assumed they knew all along, it was just too early in the process for them to have known for sure. So I don't think the Texans actually ever had to have that discussion. I think they went into the mode of, okay, I'm guessing they would have taken whoever was there at number two, unless maybe there was somebody, kind of the way Sean Payton was talking in the previous season about, they might have had somebody that said, like, no, we're not going to take him because we just flat out, it's just too far away from the prototype. We're not going to take Bryce Young. I don't know. But I don't think it's something that needs to be kept secret or anything, because I flat out don't think that they ever had to actually make that decision.
Yeah. Yep. I was mad at myself yesterday because when I did the thing with CJ back in March, the event with CJ, he said, I went through draft night with CJ and said, okay, put us in your shoes of every step of draft night. You know, Bryce Young goes off the board at one. What's going through your head? That kind of thing. And he said, I didn't think I was going to get drafted. I didn't think the Texans liked me.
Right.
I didn't think the Texans liked me. He mentioned how he thought Nick Caserio played things very close to the vest, and I was mad at myself yesterday that I forgot to ask Nick about that.
Oh, you should be mad at me, too, because I think you told me at one point to remind you of that.
I don't think I did, but so
that was your first mistake, but yeah.
I was mad I didn't ask about that, but to your point, whatever it is they were going to do, the guys in question, at least C.J. Stroud, had no clue what direction they were going because he thought he was going to be on a different team.
I wanted to put yourself in David Mulligetta's shoes, who, you know, had tense dealings
history
with the McNair or with the Texans organization.
Yeah,
and I wonder if he had to have been thinking kind of like, this could be a check against me if C.J. Stroud doesn't go to the Texans.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't know how much, because at that point, really, we're still at that phase where everybody thought the Texans were idiots who couldn't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe people wouldn't have perceived it that way. They would have looked at it as more of a Texans issue than a Mulligetta issue.
Yeah,
but that is, if anybody cares or what have you, I feel like Mulligetta probably was breathed a sigh of relief that, like, A, his client went number two overall, but
yes,
B, that the bygones were bygones.
Yep. Someone said on the text page that they thought CJ had not been interacting with the fans as much at this training.
Somebody asked me that on a live stream a couple days ago, that CJ hadn't signed autographs after a practice. This is what I got to tell you, everybody. When any given player doesn't sign autographs after a practice, you got to realize there are meetings afterwards, there are rehab things you have to do. Like, guys have things they have to get inside to do that after
He's
a practice sometimes, right? That they just have to do. So it's really, it's rarely that a guy's just being a jerk and doesn't want to sign autographs or anything. They've got stuff they got to do.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the facility for 10 more hours after that. So it's not, just try not to take it personal.
Yep.
They've got stuff they got. If you want them to go out and win football games and not get injured and what have you, they just got to get in and do the stuff they got
to
do.
And the texter, to be fair, the texter wasn't somebody saying this from experience. They were just pulling it off of like Reddit or something
that.
But apparently there's people posting saying that because CJ hasn't been signing as many autographs, he seems more Hollywood now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Hollywood.
I'm not. And honestly,
I worry zero about this.
Even if he didn't want to sign a single autograph for the rest of his life, good. Time is a precious commodity, and if you're a genuine fan, you care about your team winning football games.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if guys have to get in to do what they're going to, do you not want CJ to ice his ankles or whatever he might have to do?
That's right.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you not actually being a genuine fan.
All right. So we'll hit the Texans again on the way out as we hand things off at the top of the hour to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. They'll be in studio out at the stadium this morning. No Texans practice today. They're back at it tomorrow. So we'll circle back to the Texans. But I put up a poll. Astros have the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday. I have an either or, and it's based on Dana Brown not being able to pull off a trade. If he can't pull off a trade, I've got two choices for you to make this team better. Which one are the people picking? We'll have that for you coming up.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.